There is not a friend like our Jesus. Hallelujah. We greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. Blessing to be together, to worship the Lord. Been very blessed in the service. Jeremy will be leaving us for a season. Appreciated the last words he shared with us this morning. Trust they're not the last words we'll hear from him, but for a little season. You know, there's something very precious about when we know we are receiving last words. Amen? Something very precious about that. We tend to sit up and take extra care to listen. Amen? You know, sometimes God grants a man or a woman the ability to see that my time is expiring. And they gather the family together and they share some things that are very dear on their heart with their loved ones. We don't always have that privilege. Sometimes we are taken out of this life in just the blink of an eye, or you might say as one heartbeat, you know, and we're gone. I think it might be good that we would pray for the Hoover family this morning. They have attended here some. Someone help me out. Let's see. Alan and Rachel. I don't have many details, but their little child, 5 or 6 years old, 4 years old, children were playing with a gun. And a cousin, is that right? A cousin was there. And Alan's little son was fatally shot by his 6-year-old cousin yesterday. So can we stand together and just lift them to the Lord in prayer? Let's do that. Gracious Father, we lift up Alan and Rachel and their family to you, Lord. We can't imagine the grief and the horror of that awful sudden death of their precious little child. Father, we pray that you would draw very near to them. Hold them in your bosom, in your comforting arms, Lord, and bless them. Comfort them, Lord, as no man can comfort. Hold them and lift them up, Lord. Father, I can't imagine how they must be feeling. And the little cousin who was holding the gun. Oh God, give grace. Be merciful to this little one. And to their parents, Lord. To all of them, God. May this be a time where your comfort, your presence may be very real and dear to them, Lord. Father, we pray that no one would become bitter or depressed into a place where they can find no hope. Lord, would you shelter them from the awful, fiery attacks of the devil and the enemy? Would you grant them grace, Lord, to see that God is sovereign? He is Lord of all. He's Lord above all. Somehow this was permitted in your providence, Lord. So, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, would you comfort Alan and Rachel and their other surviving children, Lord. I don't know how many, but God, would you just bless them. And Father, for anyone who witnessed the horrible scene, oh Lord, would you comfort their hearts and their minds. Bring peace, Lord. Father, would you numb the vividness of it, Lord, or take it away that they could rest. Oh, Father, shelter them under your mighty hand, we pray. Father, now as we open your word, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would be merciful to us, that you would feed us the bread of life, that you would give us living waters, Lord. Father, we pray that you would in mercy look upon us. Father, that you would visit us continually here. I thank you for the way you are in our midst, the way you have spoken to us already. But Father, would you now, once again, in mercy, anoint your servant, anoint your word, and Father, give us anticipating, open, hearing ears. Father, sometimes I think the word has become so common to us that we cannot value it as we ought. So, Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of having your word. And Father, we ask now that the word of God would fall like rain upon our hearts, watering our hearts, ministering grace. Father, that your word would be like a hammer that breaketh the rock. Father, that your word would be like a fire. Lord, you know what we need. Would you take your word and minister it to our hearts? Answer the heart cries of each one under the sound of my voice. Only you can do that. It is not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So, Lord, I submit myself to you. I pray, bless us with the presence of your holy divine Spirit moving in our hearts, in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to John chapter 12. We want to look at some last words here this morning. These are not the last sayings of Jesus on the cross, but these are some of the last words where Jesus drew his disciples apart. And these are Jesus' last words with his disciples. John 12 and verse 1. Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Oh, hallelujah. But just to get the setting here, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and he's going to be drawing aside with his disciples here. We see down in verse 12, on the next day, that much people were come to the feast, and they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and we see there Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then we go to verse 20 of John 12. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. I trust that's your heart this morning, that I want to see Jesus. We sing that little chorus, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. You know, as a Christian, that is a burning, longing desire in my heart. Oh, that I may know Him, that I may walk with Him, talk with Him, have that unbroken fellowship and relationship with Him, that I may see Jesus. Is that your heart this morning? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Hallelujah. Well, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You haven't met Him yet as your personal Lord and Savior. Oh, I pray God would put it as a desire in your heart and a yearning to know Jesus, the living Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. We would see Jesus. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. To see Jesus, Brother Jeremy, we must surrender and we must die. A corn of wheat. Jesus gives a natural illustration and He says that, you know, a corn of wheat, except it die, except it falleth into the ground and die, it abideth alone. That one corn will not be able to reproduce or to multiply unless it dies. So He gives the natural illustration, then He says, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Then He says, now here's practical application. You want to see Jesus? You want to see me? He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that is only interested in himself and saving himself, he's going to lose it. He loves his life. He cares for himself. And he's only looking out for himself. He that loveth his life, he's going to lose it. Try to hold on to it. Try to protect it. Try to keep my own agenda, my own way, and loving myself, my own ambitions, my own dreams, my own goals. I'm going to lose it. Jesus said it another way in Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. In Mark 8:35, he says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So if you're trying to save your life, or if you're trying to love your life, or trying to find your life, whereas in your looking inward unto self to find your life, it's going to always be at the just so out of your grasp. You know, that's why so many people, I believe, are so unhappy. Because they're trying to save their life. They're trying to find their life, trying to find meaning to life. And if I get this education or this degree or this job or this possession or this position, you know, my life will have meaning. I'll find it. But actually, it's always just beyond them. Reminds me of a young man who shared with me as he was prospered in finances, and he decided he's going to do it. He's going to buy that dream truck he always dreamed about and not spare anything whatsoever his eye desireth, his heart longs for. He's going to do it. He's going to get that truck. He said, you know, on the way driving it out, even from the dealership back home, there was already a sinking feeling in his heart. Because while it was out there, you know, you anticipate and you're trying, okay, that's going to bring me some satisfaction in life. It's going to, you know, I'm going to be somebody. People are going to notice when I drive in my truck, you know. But as the ecclesiastical writer says, vanity, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It didn't bring him fulfillment. Fulfillment is found in Christ. It's found when we lose our life. It's found when we love others. But if we love self and are self-centered, it's just going to be empty and vain. It is in dying that we are born. Jesus' last words, disciples, he's going to share with them some very specific. And you know, can you imagine how it is if I know I have a week with my beloved disciples? I've got to get the truth expounded into their hearts. I'm going to lead them. Think of a father as he's lying on his bed and he knows, I'm going to be leaving this old world. And he's giving last words of instructions to his sons and to his daughters. Do you think he just sort of tells some light stories or jokes? God forbid. And how do you think the sons and the daughters listen as he's sharing his words? May we listen carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he shares with his disciples. He says in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Oh, beautiful, if any man serve me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him. If any man serve me, there shall also my servant be. There we shall be together with Christ. There we shall see Jesus. There we shall have fellowship with Him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now I have wrestled with what to bring because so many of these are a message in themselves. So if you will pardon me, we will sort of take a panoramic overview and we'll look at some of Jesus' last words. So we will not take them all. Last words. Words of gravity, of weight. Listen to this. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus telling his disciples, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Earlier in John, it is spoken of the Lord Jesus that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Disciples, if you lift up the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you lift Him up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness when the people were dying from the snake bites, and it was said, whoever will look upon that serpent on the pole shall be healed from their snake bite and shall live. Disciples, if you lift up Jesus, He said, I will draw all men unto me. Last words, important words. I like that word, draw. Ah, He will attract all men. Men will be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I ever, brother, sister, brother Jeremy, may we ever lift up Jesus Christ so that men will be attracted to the Savior. So that men will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can lift up a lot of things. But there's only one name whereby men can be saved, and that is the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, may we not lift up Charity Christian Fellowship. May we not lift up our beautiful church family, and yet we praise God for that. But may we lift up Jesus Christ. May we stay humble and lowly and not say, oh, I thank God, we're not like other men are. We don't have these problems. God forbid! It is nigh at the door. Sin lieth at the door when we start to think like that. Let us lift up Christ Jesus to all men, and He will draw all men unto Himself. There is salvation in none other but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I am very thankful for the doctrines of the Bible and the doctrines of Christ Jesus, which we hold dear and love. But you know, it's possible to get off on a doctrine of the Bible and magnify it and blow it up, so to speak, until it can become a stumbling block. God help us to lift up Jesus. Because when He is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. And Jesus said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that's one of the things that's been a burden on my heart. That Jesus Christ, He alone, He Himself, He in His completeness and beauty is the attraction. He is the center. He is the hub of the wheel, as Preacher Mose would say. He's the central, the centrality of Christ. He is it. It's not an it, not something else, but it's Christ Jesus. And then out from Him flows all these other beautiful blessings and privileges and commandments and doctrines of our Lord. Last words, disciples, lift up Jesus. Let's look in verse 35. Jesus said, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. While ye have light, walk while ye have the light. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Reminds me of where Jesus said, there's a night coming when no man can work. Work while it is day, while we have the opportunity, while we have the light. I believe Jesus was speaking here of Himself. He is the light. Walk while you have the light, and walk while the light is with you. And then Jesus departed and He hid Himself. But I want to encourage us, let us walk in the light. And there's many, many applications we can make to this scripture. But let us walk in the light and believe in the light while we have that opportunity. While it is yet the day of grace. While it is yet the time that we can hold forth the word of life and we can yet preach the gospel and we can yet call men to repentance and to faith and belief in the light, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. He that believeth on Him shall not walk in darkness. Last words. Can you imagine the disciples as they're listening to Jesus? Let's go down to verse 47. Oh, it's so hard to not take these all. Let's start at verse 44, actually. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. Oh, if you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, you believe on the Father. We cannot separate the oneness and the unity of Jesus Christ from His Father. We cannot say we believe on God the Father and do not believe in Jesus Christ. And this is where the battle lines are being drawn in our day. Well, we believe in God. We believe in a God. We believe in the Creator God. But as for Jesus, well, He was a good prophet, or He was a good man. But we do not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, come down to earth and revealed God the Father, and that He and the Father are one. Yes, the disciples, I believe, were listening. He that seeth Me has seen Him that sent Me. He seeth Him that sent Me. I am become a light into the world. Walk while ye have light. Verse 47. If any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not, for I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Oh, to be like Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, to be like Thee. Listen what He says. If any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not, for I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Lord, help us. Isn't it really easy to judge the world? Isn't it really easy to look around and judge the world? Because they are so sinful, and they are so wicked, and to just judge the world? Isn't it easy to do that? And to despise them in your heart? And to just, you know. Now the wicked acts and the wickedness and sin of the world should vex our soul. It should vex our righteous soul. But if we can just judge the world and have a heart of brass or stone, we are not like Christ. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. Is my heart to bring the beautiful, redeeming, saving gospel message to that man who my flesh recoils at, and I might say maybe my righteous spirit recoils at, with the rings and the greasy hair and the torn pants, you know, and the smell even. You know that hippie-like person? Jesus came because He loved the world, and He came to save the world. It's so easy to judge and say, oh, those people are so terrible. All their tattoos and all their rings in their body everywhere. Or some other church who doesn't quite do it like we do. May I go there? They don't quite have the same standard of holiness, and so we judge them when we should be holding forth an example and love. You know, self-righteousness is sin. And judging people whom God truly has saved and accepted and loves and are walking in the light that they know, to judge them and to be critical is not Christ-like. Does that mean we should just lower our standard and not embrace the scriptural truth and practical application for our lives so that we don't have a difficulty or a temptation to judge? No, I don't think so at all. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in what we believe the Bible teaches. But not to be critical and judging the lost who are lost in religion. And to just be able to say that without any compassion, without any tinge of burden. Those people are lost in their religion. And don't know Christ. Why, if they're lost, my dear brother, my dear sister, let us be like Christ. Jesus didn't come to judge and for me to wag my tongue at my neighbor who smokes tobacco and farms tobacco and yet is a very religious person, to just wag my tongue about that and say that he's lost. Where's my compassion? Where's my love for souls? Oh, this speaks to my own heart. I haven't arrived. I need the Lord to help me. I need Him to enable me in that grace to be able to love and to share Christ. Last words of our Lord Jesus. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words as one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself. Hallelujah. I didn't speak my own word. I spoke what the Father gave me. What the Father spoke, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Hallelujah. So we have the Bible, we have the Word of God, and there isn't any surprises. We're going to be judged by the Word. Amen? Be judged by the Word of the Lord. And I like the way this closes out here in verse 50. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. His commandment is life everlasting. Now we go into chapter 13. Last words of our Lord Jesus with His disciples. He gave them some beautiful examples, some beautiful illustration. And in John 13, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And this is a really lovely example for us. He's washing their feet, and then He comes to Peter in verse 8, and Peter says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Let's just stop for a moment and consider those words. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You know, if we want to see Jesus, if we want to be partakers of Christ, we must be washed. We must be washed from our sins. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So then we see Peter, he changes his mind pretty quickly and says, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head also." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was sat down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done unto you?" And now he's going to give them a very practical application. He's going to give them some very clear teaching. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." Jesus Christ is Master and Lord. He is the King of the universe. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's Lord of all. He's Master and Lord. Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." So if I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Why do we wash? Why do we bathe? Why do we wash? Oh, it's so simple. It's because we need a washing. We're dirty, right? Well, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And if I could just get real practical here. We ought to wash one another's feet. Well, what's the need for washing? Because we are dirty. We got contaminated. So we ought to wash one another's feet. You see, the Master, He doesn't just look on and say, "There's a problem here. There's some dirt in my disciples. There's a need here." And just leave it sit there. But the Master, the one who is clean, He gets down and washes their feet. And so I like to just think of it in this way, in a real practical way. If there's some dirt in my life, I hope that you have the courage and the grace to come and wash my feet. Is that too practical? Is that too simple? You know, if I have a need in my life where I need my feet washed because I'm dirty. You know, love and the compassion of Christ and the servanthood of Christ will motivate us to go and to wash that brother's feet. But you know what's so more natural and human to do? Is when we see some mud, is to maybe even, God forbid, pick up some more mud and throw it. And we become very dirty and the situation gets worse. But love and humility will allow me to go in love and wash another brother or sister's feet in the midst of the congregation. And then what happens? There's a cleansing. There's a purifying. And maybe only a few people knew there was any dirt that needed to be washed. Oh, God, help us. That we are so graced with humility and love one for another that we can wash one another's feet when we see there's some mud around. Instead of letting us keep walking around and tracking mud all over the fresh new kitchen floor, you know. Let us wash one another's feet. The servant isn't greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And I like this. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Where we have enough of humility to wash one another and to wash one another's feet. And you know, feet can be a little smelly. Might not always be that pleasant. Because the feet don't smell good. It's a lot easier for me to just stay away and say, let him wash his own feet. Or worse, to start telling other people, did you notice his feet stink? And the problem becomes magnified. But may I plead with us, brothers and sisters, love covers and bears and believes and hopes and goes the extra mile to reach out to a brother with smelly feet. And I need my feet washed. Do you ever need your feet washed? And what a blessing it is when we can do that. And here's the blessing. He says, happy are ye if you do them. It's just not enough to know it, to have the knowledge up here. But happy are ye if ye do them. And that word happy, I just had to look that up in the Strong's. Happy, supremely blessed. Supremely blessed. Well off. Fortunate. I mean, what a blessing. Is the reverse true? How unhappy. How unfortunate. If the smelly feet just get worse and the dirt just gets worse and everybody's pointing out each other's smelly feet but nobody has the humility to wash. Jesus was giving some very clear teaching. Humble yourself. The Master has given you an example. The clean one has given an example of stooping down and washing the dirty ones. So are you clean? It's not like the Pharisees thought. We're clean, so we can't touch anything unclean. We'll contaminate ourselves. No, it's not that way. When you are clean in Christ Jesus and you are washed in Christ, you don't have to be afraid to get a hold of some other dirty situation with the power of Christ and the grace of Christ in your life to wash that dirty situation. Oh, happy to be envied. Supremely blessed is the church. Supremely blessed is the family where there's grace and love to wash one another's feet, overlook one another's faults, overlook one another's mistakes. And when there's one that needs washing, well, this one we can't just overlook. We got to wash this one. Then we wash it. Oh, happy, blessed are ye if you do these things. Let's look at another one very quickly. John 13, 34. You know, Jesus knew His time with His disciples is coming to a close here upon the earth. I want to give them some last words of instruction, of example, of admonition, of commandment. A new commandment, He says in 34, I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, just imagine again the last words. And everybody's hanging on to every word. Yes. Jesus, a new commandment. Yes, a new commandment. To love as Jesus loved. You know about love, but this is a new one. This will be seen and demonstrated to the whole world. A love like the world has never seen. The love of God in Christ Jesus, dying on a cross. Love. That ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, a lot of things in life can be counterfeit. Different gifts and different things can be counterfeit. Sometimes I think we draw away from certain gifts of the Spirit because we're concerned about the counterfeit. We need to be concerned about the counterfeit. But love, true, genuine love, is not counterfeit for long. Maybe somebody can put it on for a little, but it's not going to last. Disciples, love one another as I have loved you. This will be the crowning mark that you belong to me. People can put on many fronts. They can do many things. But the crowning testimony that you're my disciple will be your love for the brethren. Your love for those who hate you. Your love for your enemies. Your love that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Coming out of the mouth of Stephen. Coming out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming out of many Christians down through the ages. Love. love to rescue the burgomaster who is crying for help because the ice broke through while the Anabaptist fled across. And he could have escaped. But he turns around and saves that lost man whom Jesus died for because of love. These men were confounded because there's a love that is of God in the heart. It's a supernatural love. It's the love of Jesus shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And this love lays down His life, lays down His rights. This love suffers long. This love is kind. This love is not easily provoked. Like they say, you know, you sort of got me there, you know. Irritated. It loves. It's Christ-like. Jesus' last words. Love. It's tested. Sometimes in ways we don't expect. Jesus' last words, so many we could look at. Let's turn over to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They needed some encouragement. They needed some affirmation. He's going to leave them, you know. Don't be troubled, anxious, agitated. The picture of the word definition is like rolling water or boiling water. You know, it's not resting. It's just troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And in my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Disciples, in this world you're going to have tribulation. In this world there's going to be a lot of circumstances to cause your heart to want to be troubled and to fear. But He says, don't be troubled. Neither be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I'm preparing a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. We're not home yet, but we're on the way. And Jesus has prepared a place. Last words. Last words. I think I'll make this my last one. I see that time. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Last words. Disciples. Remember what I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Disciples, there will be many other religions. There will be many other ways proclaimed, preached, walked in, and the way of the Lord Jesus, the way of the cross, will be despised. But remember, No man cometh unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that forever be deeply settled in our hearts, that there is no compromise concerning salvation. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth and the life. And how many people come to the Father another way? None. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. Disciples, I'm about to leave you. I'm entrusting you with the gospel message. I'm entrusting you with words of truth that are of great value and importance. Last words. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. Let that be deeply rooted in our hearts. He that hath the Son hath life. He that has not the Son of God hath not life. Last words. You know, the family gathers around the bedside. Father or mother is giving last words. And we hang on to those words. And we meditate on those words. And we go back over those words. Oh, remember. Remember what they said. Let us remember. Let us meditate deeply upon the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go over them again and again. For Jesus Christ, He is the way, He's the truth, and the life. And He is coming again. Last words. Important words. Sing them over again to me, the hymn writer said. Wonderful words of life. Well, there's so many more we could look at, but I'll close there. Turn the time over to Brother Paul. And maybe you have something you would like to share in a testimony or to add. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron, for sharing God's Word with us today. I was thinking of maybe another way to say it would be what we heard today was true spirituality. It's when you can have a peace that passes understanding in the midst of great trial. When you have the grace to help somebody whose feet smell. When you can die. Making disciples is basically it's dying. It's a continual death. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." And you live, but I die. And people have a lot of baggage, don't we? We all have baggage. Are we willing to carry somebody's baggage for a while? So that they can get rid of it? We can deceive ourselves to think that because we see a need, that means I must be spiritual or more spiritual because I can see this need that you have. That's a deception. When we prove that our spirituality is when we are willing to die for that need and take on some of that hurt and pain that it takes to help that person, that's really Christ's life. So Lord, help us to be that kind of a church. It's not just for the preachers and ministers. It's all of us. We could all lay down our life for one another. Does somebody have a testimony today? In the back there.
Today my heart is overflowing with the joy of knowing that God cares for us. He knows about every detail of our lives and He orders them according to His will. This morning at the breakfast table, the children and their dad got into a discussion about galaxies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and then the children's lesson just reinforced that. And the other situation that I'm very thankful for is last weekend, a sister called and asked, could you trade with us for hospitality? And I had to think a little bit because we already had our week planned pretty full, and I wasn't sure how it would work out, but I just felt that the Lord wanted us to do it. And so I said yes. And that same evening, another dear sister called and asked, do you need my help on Friday? And I said, yes, we could definitely use that. And now this weekend, I've been sick Friday and Saturday, and I'm still not feeling the best today. And so I could not have had company very well today. So God just, it's amazing how He knows all our details. And it helped me with the situation we have with our trip we have coming. My youngest brother's getting married in Missouri, and we thought we had some pretty good plans made. Everything was going to work out well. And even better than we had dared hope for. And now just this week, we heard other news that it's not going to work out at all like we had planned. And so with just realizing that this morning, that God has our best interest in mind, and maybe He has something in store for us that's much better than what we wanted on this trip. So I just praise God for ordering our lives.
Amen. This is such an important part of the service to share together our faith and what God's doing in our life. Anybody else? Up here?
Yeah, I was just so blessed with the message. I was just meditating here. You know, those Greeks came to Philip, or was it Philip? Yeah, they came to Philip. And then Philip and Andrew went to Jesus, and you know, those Greeks wanted to see Jesus. That was why they went to Philip. But Jesus didn't, you know, he didn't say anything further, but he went into expounding his last words. And what I see there is that Jesus was saying, this is me. If you want to see me, this is what I'm all about. And he went into his exposition there. And furthermore, you know, if people want to see Jesus in us, He starts with death. He starts with death to self. Are we willing to die? Else we'll abide alone, and the outshining of Jesus will not come forth in our lives if we're not willing to die. But if we're willing to die, they will see Jesus in us with the very words that He's speaking in Chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 and 17 until, you know, His death on the cross there. I thought it was just so beautiful the way this is laid out here here in the beginning of His sermon there. So I look forward to part two, Aaron. So God bless you. I was very blessed this morning with the sermons.
Amen. Are we willing to be made a spectacle? Have you ever been made a spectacle? Where God made you a spectacle to show Himself through you. He allowed you to go through something. And you people got to see something about Him by the way you walked through that. I don't like being made a spectacle real well. But there are blessings there when we walk with Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.